want you to pray for us this morning while we look at some of the Word of the Lord again. Good morning. Encourage everybody to get comfortable because we've got a lot to say this morning. We want the Lord to help us with it. We want to preach about judging by the help of the Lord. Judging. The word judge has several meanings, and most of them are related to each other. But we want to, for the purposes of this discussion this morning, assign a couple of meanings, define a term to the advantage of the discussion. Let's talk first about justice. Let justice be done. We want justice to be served. That's what the legal system says in our country. Justice means getting a fair response to our actions. If I've done something wrong, then justice requires that I must pay for that. Justice is when the penalty is actually carried out and executed, brought to pass. Judgment is not the same thing as justice. Judgment is, well, we say someone was offered a car, and he took it out and test drove it, and he found out that the brakes were bad and it smoked, burning oil. So he took it back and said, the price is too high, I don't want to buy this car for that amount of money. We'd say, well, he used good judgment in his decision. He evaluated the factors involved, he considered the price, and he decided that the purchase was not worth what was being asked of it, and decided not to do it. That's a form of judgment. And every one of us needs some judgment to be guided through life. A man who uses poor judgment as he goes through life will get himself in lots of trouble. So all of us need judgment. That's one meaning of the word. Another meaning is, my family was involved in a court case the other day. A person who has power to make binding decisions, weighs the merits of cases and makes decisions, and those are binding, we call him a judge. And I remember one time a brother testified in our meeting that he got involved with a legal system. And he asked a judge, or someone, he knew someone who'd asked a judge, maybe, is this a court of law or is this a court of justice? And the judge answered him right away, this is a court of law. We don't make any effort to be a court of justice. There's lots of times that justice miscarries under judges in the legal system, see? The law has set down certain guidelines, and the judge is to uphold that law, whether it's right in every particular case or not. And after all, the laws of this country were made by men, and sometimes their judgment was pretty good, and sometimes it was not very good, and so not all laws are fair. And the point of that is that there are many times in living this life that you will not get justice in this world. Things will happen to you that are really not fair. That'll happen to you in the legal system, in the United States courts. It'll happen to you in your family. It'll happen to you in your marriage. It can happen to you in the church that you're really not dealt with fairly. And I was thinking about that, and the Lord gave me this thought one time. I was working on a job and sat down at the end of the job and figured up my bill for it and turned it in to the people and the folks gave me a check for the bill that I turned in to him. And then after I'd done all of that, I realized that I'd overlooked something that I had done for them, pretty valuable, and had failed to charge them for it. And I called them back and told them about it and explained what had happened. And they said, well, yes, we'll make you out another check. And they did. But I thought about that. I can't always guarantee that I can give myself justice. Sometimes I cheat myself. And I certainly can't guarantee that I could always give you justice. Nor you can't guarantee that you could always give yourself justice either. Justice means, for the purposes of this discussion this morning, absolutely receiving a fair recompense for what we've done. Now there's coming a day when justice will be meted out to all mankind. And when that day comes, mercy has run out. There is a day of justice. As the Scripture said, every deed shall receive the just recompense of the reward. And every man will receive for the deeds done in the flesh. Although I'm not able to give justice to myself, there is one greater than I who's numbered the very hairs of my head and your head, and he is able to give you and me justice for what we've done and for what we've endured in this world. And when we come down to the judgment day, the justice seat of Christ, the man that has cheated somebody else is going to have to stand there and meet a reward, a recompense for having done that. He'll not have deceived that judge. It's possible to deceive human judges, but it's not possible to deceive the Lord. And the great wicked men of this world will be there. And the men who have been moral men except for one small point, they're going to be there and give an account for that point too. Used to be an old song about the judgment day. We'd sing once in a while. It said the drunkard was there with the man that had sold him the drink. He'll step right up and get his part of the judgment too. And the fellow that sold him the license to sell the drink, they're all a part of the same system, and there'll come a time when they'll stand before the great judge and get their reward. We know that that's coming, and it behooves us to live in a way so that we can meet that day having our sins open beforehand. We know they're wrong, already judged and consigned to the sea of forgetfulness, and come before the Lord under the blood of His Son, free from sin, able to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. In this world, you cannot be assured of getting justice. There is a world to come where justice is absolutely meted out. Another example. Our Lord Jesus, when He was here, I think of this often, had a man come to Him and say, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance. And the Lord spoke to him back and He said, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Take heed and beware of covetousness. Even coming to the Lord Jesus Himself, in this world, you can't always be sure that you'll get justice. That man, no doubt, had a just inheritance coming from the death of his father. And I don't know whether his brother was defrauding him or whether he was trying to defraud his brother. But the Lord said to him in so many words, I didn't come here in this world to guarantee fair play. I didn't come here to see to it that you get your fair share. I didn't come here to take up for your carnal needs. I came here to save your soul. And if your brother defrauds you and takes the whole inheritance, everything your father had, and shuts you out in the cold without a penny, you take heed and beware of covetousness. You turn it loose and let it go, and you come out clear at the day of judgment. It's better to do that than it is to come up guilty at the day of judgment. So justice, that's not the same as judgment. Judgment is the line that divides between right and wrong. The Bible is a book of judgment. It judges things to be wrong. It lays down rules. The Bible speaks against wearing of gold or pearls or costly array. That's the line that divides between right and wrong. It judges wearing gold and pearls and costly array as being contrary to godliness and holiness and purity. The Bible is a book of judgment. And as we go along our Christian journey, we need a lot of judgment. We need it in our souls. We need understanding of the Word of the Lord. We need the good judgment to size things, some things up and evaluate them and decide this is not worth what it costs me if I take it. And some other things, we need the judgment to be able to size it up and say this is useful, this is worthwhile. I can use this in my life, in my home. Go to the store and look at a suit of clothes. Run a sale on it. Long at that time of the year and the prices get down and look it over and it's well made and it's useful and we judge it and decide that's one that I want. I like the color and I like the fabric and the price is right. There is judgment to be used in this life, and people who use good judgment will be advantaged for their use of it. Well, let me read you some scriptures. Matthew 7 and 1, familiar on the subject, Sermon in the Mount. We'll start out and read that one. Jesus speaking, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Judge not that ye be not judged," the Lord said. Romans 14 and 4 says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." And in the 13th verse of that same chapter, "Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Let us not therefore judge one another any more. Judge not that ye be not judged. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth." You see, there are some strong injunctions in the Scripture against judging other people. Therefore, in 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." Then James 4 and 12, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" There is one lawgiver. He is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? There are strong injunctions in the Scripture against judging. And there's been much evil wrought in the world by human judgment. Let's go back to this one in 7 of Matthew and see what's actually being said here. The Lord taught, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Whatever I judge somebody else with, the Lord will apply that same standard back to me. Now, I've learned in my walking through life that circumstances can come along that look like to me clear cut, black and white, easy to make a decision on. And I've determined them that way. And go on down the road 5 years and have some things turn around until I found myself in that very same position that other man was in when I judged him so, and realized that the decision that I made was not nearly as clear-cut as I thought it was. One of the wise men of the world said one time, the older we grow, the less sure we are about what we think we know. Well, there's something new to be drawn from that, all right. Everything that involves humanity is subject to error. Let me say that again. Everything that people are involved in is subject to error. Human beings are flesh and blood. God Himself is all wise, all powerful. He didn't create you and I all wise, all powerful. He created us in His image. He created us instead of all wise with intelligence. And man by his intelligence intermeddleth into all things, the Scripture said. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Now that's a good scripture for me to carry along through life with me and remember in my dealings with my fellow man, however sharply I judge them, the Lord, the righteous judge, is taking note of that. And whatever the temptation that that man was under that was great enough to cause him to do the thing that I concluded was wrong, the Lord will hold me, if I judged him wrong, to be strong enough to stand that same temptation and not buckle under when I get in it, you see. With the same judgment that I judge him, the Lord will judge it back to me. So then the less I can have to do with judging other people as I go along through life, the freer I'm liable to be of the Lord judging me by close standards. All right, that seems plain. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye. Don't judge him at all. I see my brother has a straw in his eye. There is a flaw in his experience. Something that if he didn't do that way, he could be advantaged in his life or his walk with the Lord, whichever. I'll just step over there and help him. And the Lord said, thou hypocrite, you yourself have got a 2x4 in your eye, and you're going to pull a straw out of your brother's eye. So what shall I do then? Must I go through life saying, I can't help anybody. I got 2x4s in my eyes. I can't see to help anybody. That's not what he said. He said, first, pull the beam out of your eye, then you can see clearly to judge him. He's got a mote in his eye, and go on and leave him to help him with his problem, that both of you receive a blessing and a deliverance. It's not right to have a straw in your eye while you go through life. Neither is it right to have a board in your eye while you go through life. The best solution is for both of them to be removed. In order to do that, somebody's going to have to say, there's a problem here and something needs to be done about it. And here are the means for there to be help gotten for it. He didn't mean for me. Some folks have taken this scripture to mean we should never deal with anything. No matter what anybody does, we are not to lay down a judgment against it. We are not to cross it. We are not, no matter what course people follow, no matter how they act, don't you judge them. Don't you call anything wrong. That's not what the Lord said here. What He said was, if you judge with carnal judgment, everything that's got the human in it is subject to error. If I'm a sinful man, I can't help you out of your sins. The first thing to do is to get the man saved. Get his life cleaned up. Get the beam out of his eye. And then go on his course and leave the rest of the world. No, then turn around and help your brother, because he's in trouble too. It didn't mean just walk off and leave it. It didn't mean don't ever call anything wrong. What it meant was don't judge with carnal judgment. The lesson here for us, folks, in all of these scriptures that we've read, is that there is a temptation, a tendency in man to judge things according to human understanding. If we do this, we'll be misled every time. And the Lord will judge us back by that very same measure. But there is a way to get a hold of a better judgment, a better vision and wisdom than that. And if we had walked a holy life, We need to have that too. You pray for us now that the Lord help us this morning. This is the important thought. And we have in mind soul food. That's what we want this to be. Well, let's read some more scriptures. The ones we had so far said, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Isaiah 33:5. This is speaking of the New Testament church here by the vision of the prophet. The Lord is exalted, for He dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. It would terrify me to be a judge in a United States court of law and not be saved, because I could not judge righteous judgment. I could not follow spiritual understanding. I wouldn't have any. This scripture said, "The Lord is exalted. He dwelleth on high." Now the Lord is greater than you and I are. There are things that can arise that to human understanding look like open and shut cases. Clear cut, easy to understand. This man was wrong and this man was right, and we so judge and decide this day. Looks like that. 5 years down the road, that case might look entirely different to you because of things that come in your life. And you see that you were hasty in dealing with it. We need the judgment of one that's superior to you and me. The Lord is exalted. He dwelleth on high. He doesn't need 5 years' experience to change His understanding of a case. He knows at the very time that a thing happens what's working in people's hearts, how to deal with it. He understands what the end of it will be. "For He dwelleth on high. He," the Lord, the one who dwelleth on high, "hath filled Zion," His church, "with judgment and righteousness." Now listen to this. Judgment and righteousness go hand in hand. Where there is no judgment, there is no righteousness. Judgment is a line that divides between right and wrong. "Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times." Judgment produces righteousness. I learn that it's wrong for me to steal from somebody else. I fear the Lord. I ask Him to forgive me for having stolen. I restore that I've stolen. And the Lord has mercy on me and forgives me. The judgment that stealing was wrong brought righteousness to my soul. Judgment and righteousness are Zion hath filled with judgment and righteousness. And as I begin to follow judgment, the Lord shows me what's wrong, and I abstain from those things that are wrong. It'll fill my life and soul with righteousness, meaning right doings. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness, and wisdom and knowledge. After a while, I begin to know some things about right and wrong. And when I started out to serve the Lord, there were lots of things that I didn't know were wrong. But as I went along my journey farther, and I laid aside the things the Lord showed me, I came to know more about Him and understand His way better. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. If I will learn to judge between right and wrong, Scripture said, "Between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not, between good and evil doings," if I learn to lay aside sin in my life, it'll teach me wisdom and knowledge, and those things will stabilize my life. Now, I've read about boats that have stabilizers on them. Some boats rock tremendously with every wave that comes along. But to have invented stabilizers for some boats and, I don't know, airplanes and other things that are buffeted with storms, and they get those things so they can go across that water or that air pretty steady because the stabilizers are out there. You'll never come to the place in this world where the storms of life can't buffet you. But the Lord has got some stabilizers built in Zion. Wisdom and knowledge, knowing the difference between right and wrong, having the wisdom to apply that to my life, that'll stabilize me through the hard and bitter storms of life. I need some judgment in my life. Judgment produces righteousness. Righteousness produces wisdom and knowledge, and that stabilizes my life, and the strength of salvation will be in my life, and the fear of the Lord is His treasure. The whole thing begins with the fear of the Lord. Lord, I fear you, and I know that you have some lines drawn between right and wrong. I'm afraid to just go along my journey and wander back and forth across the line and never know or never care where it is. I'm afraid to do that. If you show me how to serve you by your grace, I'll turn and follow you all my days. A man who'll start out that way will find, to his surprise, wisdom and knowledge will stabilize your life. It'll take an awful lot of the rock out of it as you go along, and you can stand a lot more storm in a vessel that's got stabilizers on it than you can in one that's round on the bottom and nothing to keep it from rocking with every wave that comes along. Oh, folks, this whole world is stormy enough without us failing to have stabilizers in our lives. May the Lord help us to be stable in our walk with Him. So, the Scripture said Zion is filled with judgment and righteousness. The Lord filled it up. That doesn't sound like judge not, does it? What that Scripture means in Matthew is don't judge with carnal judgment. To confirm that, in the 7th of John, in the 24th verse of that chapter, if a man on the Sabbath, Jesus arguing with the scribes and Pharisees here, received circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken. Scribes and Pharisees had Jesus on the carpet here because He healed a man on the Sabbath. And they judged Him without an effort to give justice according to the law. Is this a court of law or is this a court of justice? If the Pharisees had been honest, they'd have had to say, this is a court of law. We don't care about the right and wrong of it. Moses' law commanded not to do work on the Sabbath. Now you came along and healed a man on the Sabbath. We're going to deal with you about it. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, you can cut a man up on the Sabbath. Are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but didn't say just judge not and leave it there. But, he said, judge righteous judgment. Judge a line according to the holiness of the Lord's understanding. Folks, we need to know this good old book while we go along through life. We need to understand the judgment that the Lord laid down on things. The Lord has got some judges in His church. Did you know that? His Bible is a judge in this world. And it condemns some things. And it justifies some things. And we need to understand what it is. In the United States courts, one of the laws is that ignorance is not an excuse for disobeying the law. If I were a man that couldn't read, and I get out here on 23rd Street where the speed limit is posted at 55 miles an hour, and I drive 70 and the policeman pulls me over, he can write me out a ticket and be just as justified under the law as if I knew exactly what that speed limit was. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. In God's law, we're going to be judged by this book, and we'll do well to understand what its precepts are. They're based on right and wrong. Judge righteous judgment. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That's what the Lord is saying to His church today. Judge righteous judgment in the things you deal with in life, in your dealing with your children, in your dealing with men on the job, in your dealing with brethren in the Lord. Judge righteous judgment. Judge not according to carnal understanding. Judge things in the Spirit. Now then, there's this factor to be mixed in with that, and we kind of touched on it some in our Sunday school this morning, and we want to say a little more about it. I am a flesh and blood, breathing, living human being, and you are too. And as long as I am in the flesh, no matter how saved or sanctified I get to be, Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. I've always got to keep that in consideration. There are some things about you, maybe, that I'd like to just really lay the law down on, but I've got to do it. Scripture said, in meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Because I'm still a human being. It's still possible for me to fail and fall in the same place you're in. Not only that, it's possible that I don't really understand what you're in. And because that's true, I might understand some things about you clearly and thoroughly and well. I might be able to say that the Lord has given me vision and revelation about it, and I understand the battle that you're in, and that could all be true. But I need to deal in it with meekness and humility because I'm still a human being. And I'm capable of falling in the same place. Don't misunderstand. That kind of judging can be very potent. It has great force behind it. But I must never fail to remember the thing that characterizes religious movements that have left the Spirit of the Lord out and become harsh and critical in their disposition is that element of gentleness begins to leak out on them. And they become too sharp with one another. And the Lord begins to leave them. That can happen, you see. And as long as I am human and flesh and blood, I have to keep in mind that factor that I am human and that there are some things because I am human I don't understand. And the Lord in His wisdom said to me, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Therefore, in those matters involving right and wrong that are serious to me, especially if they involve others, especially if they involve myself, I ought to undertake them with some prayer and seeking of the Lord earnestly. Weeping maybe, fasting some. Lord, I'd want to be sure that I'm not doing this by appearance. I want it to be a righteous judgment. I want this to be a Holy Ghost judgment, a sanctified judgment. There is a place to have a sanctified judgment. And bear in mind, you will not always receive fair play in this world. You can't even always give yourself a fair deal. The church can't always give you a fair deal. The Lord didn't always give people a fair deal. But He did promise to supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. If my Father chose to give every nickel that He's got to my brother when he deceases and makes it out so in His will, that's His privilege, and the Lord would have me just to swallow that insult and pray down grace and go on my way, because He is my Heavenly Father and He guaranteed to stand by me and supply my needs. And if He chooses to close up that way on me, then He'll open another way to take care of me, and it'll be suitable to my soul. You see, my trust is not in receiving fair play from people as I go along through life. Must not be. Our trust is in our Heavenly Father who promised to care for us. And He will give us a fair deal as we go along through life. That's all we need. That's all we really should ask for. Lord, You deal fair with me and You can do what You want to with the rest of it. And I, by Your grace, will follow You. That's good enough for saints to live by. Judge righteous judgment. Not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Well, let's go a little farther. Righteous judgment can get pretty sharp. Though they be meek men, though they administer judgment with mercy, you be careful about crossing over it when it's the Lord's judge. Be careful about that. Ananias and Sapphira ran into one of the Lord's judges and gave up the ghost. Paul, speaking to one of the ruler's assistants in one of the places where he went, and I've forgotten his name, judged him, all full of all subtlety, he said, and guile. And a great darkness fell on that man, the Scripture said. And he went about seeking somebody to lead him by the hand, because he ran into one of the Lord's judges. And the Lord backed up that judgment that Paul passed on him. It's serious dealing to deal with the Lord's judges. Well, let's go a little farther. 1 Corinthians 6. First verse. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? I dealt with some religious folks one time for a period of time, and at last came to a cross with them because they said, you're too judgmental. They said, you're majoring in manners. These little things that we're doing that you find so offensive have no weight against mercy and love and faith. Jesus said, ye give tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and neglect the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy. This ye ought to have done and not to leave the other undone. Both of them have a place in the work of the Lord. There are people who would say to you, don't judge anyone. Every man answers according to his own conscience. This scripture flatly contradicts that position. Don't you know, he said here, that the saints, meaning redeemed, born again, children of God, shall judge the world? That's serious, isn't it? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world, and if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Now this is strong meat. This will do for spiritual people. I knew a man one time, been religious man, went to meeting with a fella. He said, when I was a boy, my dad gave me, or some way, he got a hold of a pig. And he said, I raised it up to a full-grown hog and got it ready to butcher. And one of the folks I went to meeting with said, I'll buy the hog from you for so much money. It's all right, I'll sell it. Young fella. And this man who was buying it was an older man. The way he told me the story, he said, I took the hog over and delivered it to him. The man told him now, I'll pay you when the time comes, check comes in, or some such a matter. And he said, I trusted him. And he said, that's been years and years and years ago, and he never has paid me for that hog. He's still got it. Still going to meeting, too. Still professing. Lord help us. That's hard on a boy. Put his time into raising a project and intended, had the money already spent in his mind. You know how boys do. Several different ways. And then that fellow just defrauded him out of it. And professing all the time that I'm serving the Lord. Now notice what this scripture says. If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life. Spiritual life is counted all the time in the Scriptures far ahead of all things having to do with temporal life. The Lord will allow people to suffer great hardship to the benefit of their souls. He'll allow folks to go through long battles of affliction to the benefit of their souls. He'll also sometimes allow people to defraud you. Paul said, I know both how to be abased and how to abound. There needs to be a place in our lives where we just don't put very much value on worldly things. And if we've got it, well and good. And if we haven't, and the Lord sees we need it, then He'll supply us. And if He doesn't supply us, then we'll go on and trust Him and serve Him anyway. And He'll take care of us. That's the course that is being taught here in the Scriptures. If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Somebody in the congregation or my family has done me wrong. I'm not getting fair play. I've been defrauded. It's hindered my confidence. What shall I do? Let's call a minister's meeting. Let's get in the most notable men in the land. We'll get to the bottom of this thing. No, Paul said that's not worthy of that kind of action at all. Take the newest, youngest member in the congregation, the very least esteemed. Take a little child and let them make a decision. Well, but, Brother Paul, if they get that 10-year-old boy to decide over this matter, he might not give me fair play. I might not be able to make him understand what all the trouble is. He said, why are you making so much fuss over things having to do with temporal things? Why don't you rather just suffer loss? Give up the pig and turn it loose and let it go. If the Lord sees you need a pig, He'll give you another one. And if He doesn't, then you just commit that onto His hands and go on and serve Him. You're not always going to get fair play in this world. The Scripture teaches us, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. In another place, and be at peace among yourselves. And in another place, if ye bite and devour one another, take heed lest ye be consumed one of another.
There is a place in the Lord to submit things, to live peaceably, to be willing to accept unfair judgment and just go on and serve the Lord. Everything doesn't have to happen in my family just to suit me, for me to be part of that family and get along with them. Everything doesn't have to happen in the congregation just to suit me, in order for me to be a part of the congregation and get along with it. All that I require is for the Lord to be putting His sanction, approval, and blessing on it. And if He'll do that, and the Lord's willing to bless it, how am I going to argue or fight against it? I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you. You ought to be so dedicated, so spiritual, that earthly things just don't mean enough to you to go to law brother with brother. That's what he said here. You ought to be more willing to turn loose of earthly things than that. Set that which is least among you over to judge it. Now, I was praying and thought about that, and I felt like the Lord brought something to my mind that encouraged me. You take a child. It's hard to impress a child with somebody's dignity or importance. It's just hard to do. Don't say anything against that fella. He's a great man. But he got my lollipop. And that child will say that. He'll point to right what hurts. Every time. Lord, help us. Put a child to judge where the trouble is, and he'll put his finger on what hurts. Right there, that's the spot where I got hit. Correct that pain, and everything else will be okay. Just real simple, real basic. Go to where the hurt is and take care of it, and everything will be all right. Set that which is least esteemed among you to judge over temporal things. If there's been some hurt involved, put your hand right on it. There's a spot. Let's deal with that, and let's just accept it and go on and lay everything else behind us. And it'll bring peace. That's what Brother Paul is saying here. Now therefore there's utterly a fault among you. Should I become, by foolish carnal judging, so lacking of the Spirit of the Lord, that earthly things mean so much to me that I can't give them up in favor of my brother, then I'll surely get hurt to myself along the way and trouble in my soul. Judge not, he said, that you judge righteous judgment, and Zion will be filled with judgment. Well, let's look over in Luke now and read 1:22-24. We're just hitting the high places of this. There's so much in it. And there was also a strife among them, speaking of the Lord's apostles, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief is he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you, is he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And now I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. Now that's something to think about, isn't it? Judge righteous judgment. The only way there is to judge righteous judgment is to let the things of this world fade into relative unimportance and place great stress and weight on the things of the eternal world and weigh them above sacrifice in this temporal world. And those who will do that, the Lord has promised them that ye may eat and drink with me at my table in my kingdom. Now, I want to eat at the Lord's table. David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I found out along my last journey that I got the enemies and I want the table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. that they may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. To eat and drink with the Lord, spiritual food, the wine of His Spirit, to drink it down. To eat the good things of the Word of the Lord at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And let's look at another one over here in 2 Corinthians and hook these together by the help of the Lord. Second chapter this time. And the 10th verse. Paul speaking about a brother that had got into a wrongdoing. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now then, there is forgiving, and there is forgiving. There's two meanings of that usage in the Scriptures. You can do me a personal wrong, maybe hurt my feelings very badly, and never even know you did it. That can happen. I might be sensitive about a point. Maybe I'm in question in the secret depths of my mind that I'm not an adopted child. Now, that's not true in my case, but maybe I wonder if my parents didn't adopt me from somewhere. And you can come along and say something, never dreaming that I have that thought in my mind about adopted children, and just go all through me and upset me. The Lord requires me to pray down grace to just forgive that as if it had never happened, for me to have a clear, free dealing with you. Forgiveness. But there is another forgiveness too. You can do a wrong that is, or I can do a wrong that is an open, conspicuous wrong that is a hindrance to souls of men. And you can pray down grace to forgive me of that, so that you're not feeling bitter or hostile or angry toward me. But nevertheless, in order for confidence between you and me to be like it ought to be, I'm going to have to do some dealing about it. That's the important point. You can't forgive me a sin until it doesn't stand between me and God anymore. That's a place the Lord reserves to Himself. If I've done a wrong to God's church, then I'm going to have to deal with God's church to straighten it up. If I've done a wrong against God, no matter how much you forgive me and how much you love me, I'm going to have to pray that thing clear before the Lord, before I can receive confidence and fellowship again among the brethren. There's forgiveness and there's forgiveness. You can forgive me until you're not bitter toward me, but still hold me that I'm living a sinful life and not fit to be a part of God's body, and be just in doing that. Now Paul said here, to whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. This man that he was dealing with, if I'm not mistaken, had been a fornicator, had done a grievous sin. And now it was as if they were saying, well, Brother Paul, this man has repented of his sin. He's rectified the wrong that he's done. We've accepted that, and we count him to be one of the brethren again. His wrong against the Corinthian congregation was also a wrong against Paul, because Paul was instrumental in establishing that congregation and had a vested interest in it. But Brother Paul wrote over there and said, if you count him a brother again, that the Lord's forgiven him, and you've forgiven him, and restored him in your confidence, I have confidence in you, and I'll accept it on your sakes. Now you see, what we judge is serious, folks. Folks who have confidence in us have a right to say, those brethren accepted that, there must be a reason why they did, we'll accept it on their grounds. There are all kinds of sins and wrongdoings that people get into. And I've known folks sometimes who seem to take the attitude, except I see myself that a wrongdoing was corrected, I will not accept it. You'll waste your life trying to be sure that all the wrongdoings were taken care of. That's not a practical approach. But when the brethren in the place where the wrongdoing took place are willing to, for the purpose of this discussion, let me say, extend the second forgiveness. Brother, we count that you cleared this with the Lord, and you cleared it with us. And we accept you again in the fellowship, in this body. And we have confidence in you. That ought to do something to me, too. Ought to be willing for the sake of my brethren to accept that testimony. And then on you and me, that places a great responsibility about what we accept and what we reject. Not only in people, but in the tides and the things that are going in the world. There are lines that the old-time ministers, somebody said one time, "Preacher, brother, don't preach about things. The Bible is full of preaching about things." Some of them we named already, gold and pearls and costly array. Those are things, and the brother came right out. The holy apostle of the Lord, he judged those. He said to lay it aside. He said not to wear it. He said, "Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of all of these kinds of things." The Lord has still got some judges in His body to determine about some things in this world. Come right up against it and call it wrong and unhealthy spiritually. Oh, the Scripture said about these, "Obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account." The thing that they've judged, they've got to be sure did not judge this according to appearance, but with righteous judgment. They're going to have to give an account of it. "You obey them," he said. Listen, the Lord has put some judges in His church over me. I'm glad that He has. I want to be quickly willing to hear their teaching because it's life to my soul and deliverance to me. "To whom ye forgive anything." Now you, this new fashion, this new idea, started over in your part of the country. You weighed it out first. And you judged it. Here I don't know anything about it, but I hear the rumors of it. And I'll accept your judgment about it. That's quite a place, isn't it? But that's what this is talking about. "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." And the other one that we read said, "The saints shall judge the world." Now let's look at this one again in Luke 22:24. "That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And let's go over in Matthew and hook one up with that. This gets down real close on us, folks. And it's rich and it's good. It's a good plan. I'm glad the Lord made it this way. 18 and 18 of Matthew. Jesus speaking here about a brother. "Trespass against thee. Go and tell him his fault. Take two or three more. If he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Because here's what will happen. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Oh, the world says, don't judge anything. Don't stand against anything. Don't call anything wrong. Now, we've had it mentioned here before, but I'll say it again about the Baptist minister in town. Got in quite a brouhaha because he said, "The Lord doesn't hear the Jews' prayer." And the whole Bible is behind him in his statement. But the religious world got up in arms about it and worked him over till he finally retracted his stance and backed up on it. Oh, the Scripture said, "Judge righteous judgment. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." There is a place for God's people in the Holy Ghost, not according to appearance, to judge something, to be wrong, and to bind it up, refusing liberty and a place in the Lord's service and the Lord's work, place no confidence in it. And what did Jesus say? "Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth." The Lord Jesus, when He was here, demonstrated that He had power on earth to forgive sins. He made you and I a part of His ministry. When He came in our flesh, He gave unto us healing. He gave unto us understanding. He gave us deliverance. He gave us some of the authority, like a big brother, that has to do with binding things. And there are some things that we are obligated to bind in this world. And when we do, the Lord Almighty will stand behind His judges. and confirm what they have done. See how it happens. Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. That's not just a blank check to go out and whatever it is pleases me. I don't like that old green shirt you're wearing, so I'm going to make a law that wearing green is wrong to come out to meeting with. And the Lord's obligated to back me in it. That's not what He's talking about, folks. That's by my carnal human opinion. Again, whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Let it not be my judgment then. Let it be that we've agreed together and the Lord has come down Himself to bear witness with us and confirm. And it's His judgment. We need to walk humbly through this life, saints. We need to walk softly. We need to let the Lord judge us. There are some things that we have to judge if we're going to be clear. Whatever you bind, He said, on earth, will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, will be loosed in heaven. Well, I have a little experience with that. You can turn some things loose by human decision that God will turn loose too. And you have to bear the consequence of that. And if it's something that wasn't right, that doesn't mean altogether that the Lord will accept it as right in His heaven. That means that He gave us authority in dealing with souls of men. And if there is a doctrine that we turn loose of, the Lord will just turn us loose too. And let us go on our own way and bring destruction upon our heads. Oh, what a terrible, tragic thing it would be to do. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Judge righteous judgment. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. There's some more. I'd like to read. Did I read you that one over in Amos? There's so much in the Bible about judgment. I want to turn over and read that one again. The 5th of Amos and the 21st verse. The Lord speaking here. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Don't ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings. I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Oh, Lord, you've got to recognize us. We are carrying on such a wonderful worship for you. We are doing what you commanded in our worship. We've got our sacrifices. We've got our feasts. We've got our solemn assemblies. But all the time, these people that loose the reins of their greed and lust and all of those kinds of things, the Scripture did not say, by their preaching ye shall know them. He said, by their fruits. Weigh a congregation by the things that are turned loose among them, not by the oratory power of the speaker that leads them. It's the fruits that the Lord puts His hand on. Look what He said here. You got your meeting all right. You got your burnt offerings and your meat offerings. I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. I tell you, there are many people singing this morning, supposedly in the name of the Lord, where God has far long withdrawn from their assemblies. He will not smell in their midst. His approval and sanction does not rest on them. Somebody said one time, the Lord must surely be with us. Look how fast we're growing. Look how many are being added to us. The Lord always values quality above quantity. He places His word ahead of man. He said that no flesh should glory in His presence. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. It is possible for people to get right up and sing songs that are very religious sounding, inspiring songs, all about the Lord and the Bible and Jesus and holy things, and the Lord Himself actually be disgusted and filled with loathing at the very sound of it. He said, take your songs away from me. I don't want to hear it. It's a foul smell in my nostrils. What did He say here? Let judgment run down as waters. Oh, whether you do it with wonderful oratory ability or just in a quiet, humble way, get up and call the thing that sin, sin, and stand against it. And let judgment run down as waters. and righteousness as a river. As a mighty stream, have ye not offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in thy tabernacle in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? Let judgment run down his waters. I tell you, the Lord's people are thirsty today, not for fine speaking ability, not for beautiful melodies. Those things are made with human hands. The Scripture said, God is not worshipped with men's hands, as if he had need of anything. Feed me on spiritual food. Give me water to drink, flowing fresh from heaven. The old songwriter said, stream of life from heaven. Speaking of this Bible, stream of life from heaven, crystal clear, shed thy cooling freshness over me. Let my thirsting spirit, till I thirst no more, drink thy sparkling waters free. Oh, didn't the Lord say to one of his prophets of old, who'll rise up for me against the evildoer? He told Isaiah, stand in the gap, make up the hedges. He told him in another place, gather up the stones out of the way, that the righteous people that keepeth the truth may enter in. The Lord wants people, his saints, his children, to judge righteous judgment, deal in right and wrong. Learn between the difference and the thing that is right in humility and love. Come right out and stand up for it and rise up against the evildoer and declare wrong to be wrong. Didn't he say in another place, cursed be the man that keepeth back his sword from blood, that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. I hate, I despise your feast days. It isn't our skill or ability or singing or all of those things that put the Lord in our midst. It's dividing between right and wrong, according to the precious, blessed standard of the holy word of the Lord. That'll bring righteousness in our midst. It'll cause the waters to run down in our soul like a mighty stream. It'll put the deliverance, it'll put the power and the blessing. Folks, we need the word of the Lord. We need to judge some things. I know the Lord said, judge not that ye be not judged. He didn't mean for us to go along with beams and motes in our eyes. He meant for us not to judge carnal judgment. He meant for us to agree together, two or three of us, and the Lord be in the midst. And judge with the righteous judgment that the Lord gives us. Judge righteous judgment, he said. There is a place to judge things and learn that they are wrong. And if we'll do that and follow in it, it'll add to us wisdom and knowledge and stability and strength. And make us able to enter in peace at the end of the journey. Pray for me, I want to be saved.